These heavenly gifts will surely flow more abundantly if we not only pray fervently to God, especially by participating every day, if possible, in the Eucharistic sacrifice, if we not only try to relieve the distress of the needy and of the sick by works of Christian charity, but if we also set our hearts on the good things of eternity, rather than on the passing things of this world, if we restrain this mortal body by voluntary mortification, denying it what is forbidden, and forcing it to do what is hard and distasteful, and finally, if we humbly accept as from God's hands the burdens and sorrows of this present life. Thus, according to the Apostle, we shall fill up those things that are wanting of the sufferings of Christ in our flesh for his body, which is the Church. 212-107. As we write these words, there passes before our eyes, alas, an almost endless throng of unfortunate beings for whom we shed tears of sorrow: sick, poor, disabled, widows, orphans, and many not infrequently languishing even unto death on account of their own painful trials or those of their families. With the heart of a father, we exhort all those who from whatever cause are plunged in grief and anguish to lift their eyes trustfully to heaven and to offer their sorrows to him who will one day reward them abundantly. Let them all remember that their sufferings are not in vain, but that they will turn to their own immense gain and that of the Church, if to this end they bear them with patience. The daily use of the offering made by the members of the Apostleship of Prayer will contribute very much to make this intention more efficacious, and we welcome this opportunity of recommending this association highly, as one which is most pleasing to God. 108. There never was a time, venerable brethren, when the salvation of souls did not impose on all the duty of associating their sufferings with the torments of our divine Redeemer. But today that duty is clearer than ever, when a gigantic conflict has set almost the whole world on fire and leaves in its wake so much death, so much misery, so much hardship. In the same way today, in the special manner, it is the duty of all to fly from vice, the attraction of the world, the understrained pleasures of the body, and also from worldly frivolity and vanity which contribute nothing to the Christian training of the soul nor to the gaining of heaven. Rather let those weighty words of our immortal predecessor Leo the Great be deeply engraved on our minds, that by baptism we are made flesh of the crucified. 213. And that beautiful prayer of Saint Ambrose, "Carry me, Christ, on the cross," which is salvation to the wanderers, soul rest for the wearied, wherein alone is life for those who die. 214-109. Before concluding, we cannot refrain from again and again exhorting all to love Holy Mother Church with a devoted and active love. If we have really at heart the salvation of the whole human family, purchased by the precious blood, we must offer every day to the Eternal Father our prayers, works, and sufferings for her safety, and for her continued and ever more fruitful increase. And while the skies are heavy with storm clouds, and exceeding great dangers threaten the whole of human society and the Church herself, let us commit ourselves and all that we have to the Father of Mercies, crying out, "Look down, we beseech thee, Lord, on this thy family, for which our Lord Jesus Christ did not hesitate to be betrayed into the hands of evil men and to undergo the torment of the cross." 215-110. Venerable brethren, may the Virgin Mother of God hear the prayers of our paternal heart, which are yours also, and obtain for all a true love of the Church, she whose sinless soul was filled with the divine Spirit of Jesus Christ above all other created souls, and who, in the name of the whole human race, gave her consent for a spiritual marriage between the Son of God and human nature. 216. Within her virginal womb Christ our Lord already bore the exalted title of Head of the Church. In a marvelous birth she brought him forth as the source of all supernatural life, and presented him, newly born, as prophet, king, and priest to those who, from among Jews and Gentiles, were the first to come to adore him. Furthermore, her only son, condescending to his mother's prayer in Cana of Galilee, performed the miracle by which his disciples believed in him. 217. It was she, the second Eve, who, free from all sin, original or personal, and always most intimately united with her son, offered him on Golgotha to the Eternal Father for all the children of Adam, sin stained by his unhappy fall. And her mother's rights and mother's love were included in the Holocaust. Thus she who, according to the flesh, was the mother of our head, through the added title of pain and glory became, according to the Spirit, the mother of all his members. She it was who through her powerful prayers, obtained that the Spirit of our divine Redeemer, already given on the cross, should be bestowed, accompanied by miraculous gifts, on the newly founded church at Pentecost, and finally bearing with courage and confidence the tremendous burden of her sorrows and desolation. She, truly the Queen of Martyrs, more than all the faithful, filled up those things that are wanting of the sufferings of Christ for his body, which is the Church. 218, and she continues to have for the mystical body of Christ, born of the pierced heart of the Savior, 219, the same motherly care and ardent love with which she cherished and fed the infant Jesus in the crib. 111. May she, then, the most holy mother of all the members of Christ, 220, to whose immaculate heart we have trustfully consecrated all mankind, and who now reigns in heaven with her Son, her body and soul refulgent with heavenly glory, may she never cease to beg from him that copious streams of grace may flow from its exalted head into all the members of the mystical body. May she throw about the church today, as in times gone by, the mantle of her protection, and obtain from God, that now at last the church and all mankind may enjoy more peaceful days. 112. Confiding in this sublime hope, from an overflowing heart we impart to you, one and all, venerable brethren, and to the flocks, entrusted to your care, as a pledge of heavenly graces and a token of our special affection, the apostolic benediction. 113. Given at Rome, at St. Peter's, on the 29th day of June, the feast of the holy apostles Peter and Paul, in the year 1943, the fifth of our pontificate.